And now I'm joined on the phone by David Moore from Astronomy Ireland, and he's going to give us the latest on what's going on in our skies. David, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Very excited for this month.
Yes, there's lots going on. Please tell.
Well, we have a naked eye comet due. In fact, it should be in evening skies now if it weren't for all the clouds that we're having. But people around the world are certainly seeing it, and Ireland will be one of the best places watch what's called Comet Lemon, named after an observatory, Mount Lemon, where it was found earlier this year. So it should become quite visible to people who have dark skies, where you can never be sure with comets, but this one will be about as bright as, say, the brightest stars in the plough, if people know the plough star pattern.
Okay. And
in fact, it will be near the plough. There's a terrific picture posted from another part of the world where the skies are clearer, showing the plough with the comet and its tail nearly as long as the plough, so it's quite a spectacular sight as long as you've got those clear skies. I'm chomping at the bit every evening when the sun sets, hoping we're going to have a clear west horizon so we can see it. And curiously enough, this happened almost exactly the same time last year with a different comet called Comet TA, and that particular comet, I remember thinking, I'll have no problem finding it in binoculars, so I'll go out and start checking the stars and look for it near a faint star. Once I went outside, I looked to the west, and there was the comet, plain as day, with the naked eye. Really spectacular, terrific photographs, flooding our magazine, and we're just hoping there's going to be a repeat 12 months later with this totally new comet, coincidentally in October as well.
Tell me, David, for a novice like myself, what does a comet look like? Like, what would you be looking out for? How does it appear to someone in the sky?
Well, the word comet comes from the ancient Greek word meaning hairy star.
Okay.
So maybe every decade or so, you get a really bright comet. And of course, you know, going back to ancient times, there was no street lighting. The skies were pitch black everywhere. So people would be pretty in touch with the stars and knew the star patterns, especially in Greece with their lovely clear skies. And occasionally these bright interlopers would come along. And the stars look pretty pin sharp, but these things were hazy, and often they would have this faint, wispy tail coming out of the back of them. And that used to scare ancient people who didn't know what was going on. And there were all kinds of legends about comets being omens of the ill, because you would have this object, you know, with a long tail, looking a bit like a dagger in the sky.
Right.
Shakespeare even wrote about it in Julius Caesar. He said, when beggars die, there are no comets seen, but the heavens themselves blaze for the death of princes. So,
okay,
if you're royalty at the moment with a bright comet in the sky, you might want to watch yourself.
Okay. And so is it something, I'm actually just looking on, I'm looking online now as I'm speaking to you to try and get an image of a comet. It looks unbelievable. Would that be moving, or is it just stationary in the sky?
Yeah, it is definitely moving. They're moving at tens of kilometres per second.
But for us watching,
when they get closest to the sun, they're going fastest. And they only spend a few weeks or months close to the sun, and then this particular comet came last near the sun 1300 years ago. It's going to pass near Jupiter on its way out from the sun, and that'll shorten its orbital period by about 200 years, so it'll still be over 1,000 years before we see this one.
Wow.
Again.
Okay.
And we sent a full article out to all the members of Astronomy on a few weeks ago, and it has maps showing you the plough, where the comet is relative to it. Anyone who didn't get it, the moment you join Astronomy Ireland, you're immediately emailed that section of the magazine that you can look at online, and then the paper magazine arrives a few days later in the post with all the other articles in it. So anyone wants to follow it with us, there's also a weekly email we send out updating you on how bright the comet is, because you never know with comets. They can suddenly have outbursts, or the sun can vaporize them. This particular comet gets much closer to the sun than we are. So imagine you're out sunbathing on a very hot day with the sun directly overhead, at a holiday resort, and how hot you get there, only you turn the sun up by a factor of 4 in brightness and heat. The
wow.
poor comet gets roasted like that 24 hours a day. So comets are giant dirty snowballs. This one's probably around 5 kilometers across. It's hard to tell for sure, but much smaller than, say, the Earth. So the size of a city, let's say, or a big town. However, it's because it's made of frozen gases and frozen water and all the dusty bits mixed in, left over from when the sun and planets were formed. When the sun roasts that, it pushes steam basically out into space, and this big hazy cloud around it can be as big or bigger than planet Earth, even though the solid lump at the middle is tiny by comparison. And then the radiation from the sun blows that steam and the dust away in long tails. So the tail will always point towards the sun. So if you do see the tail on it over the next few days and weeks, the sun will have just set in the west, the comet will be there above the horizon, and its tail will be pointing straight up, pointing down at where the sun is.
And
so,
fascinating
objects to watch.
What's kind of the best time? Is it just after sunset, or should you wait till a little bit later?
Yeah, the best time just after sunset. The comet Lemini, I did actually see it in the morning sky when it was far from the Earth.
Okay. And
now it's moved into the evening sky. You can still
see
it in the morning sky as well, but it's actually going to be best at its best in the evening sky, which is great news for people who don't like getting up at the crack of dawn. And as the sky gets dark, the comet is relatively dim. It's as, at best, we expect it'll probably be as bright as the brightest star in the Plough or the North Star. So not the brightest thing in the sky, but close. And you need the sky to be dark to see stars like that well, especially its tail, which would be much fainter as well. So you're battling the fact that, A, as the minutes and hours tick by after sunset, the sky gets darker, the twilight decreases, but the comet is also going down. So the higher up it is, the better you'll see it. So you've got that trade-off. So around probably 6, 7 o'clock onwards, you certainly should be ready. That's roughly when sunset is, and if the skies are clear, I get out. If you've got a pair of binoculars, bring them with you, because even if it is visible to naked eye, you'll always get a better view in binoculars.
And
binoculars are superb for viewing comets.
Oh, brilliant. I have my granddad's old pair of binoculars, so that would be great. And
well, these days you can get them for about 20-30 quid. You get a great pair, and the advice is look at the numbers on them. They'll usually say something like 10x50. That means the 10x is the magnification, 10 times, and the 50 is how big the lenses at the front are in millimeters. So the wider those lenses are, the more light they're collecting. You don't want the magnification too high, because you're going to be holding the binoculars with your hand. Any slight shake in your hands will be magnified as well.
Yes,
there's all kinds of tricks if you don't have a tripod to hold them steady. Jam them up against something, a lamppost, even a tree. Rest your elbows on a car or a wall or something, and that will give you a much more stable platform to view. Not just the comet, but the planet Jupiter rises after about 11 o'clock this week.
Oh, nice.
And in the morning sky on Sunday, actually, the planet Venus will be very close to the moon. Anyone who likes getting up around 7 o'clock in the morning will get a great view of that.
And
diagrams
so
in
that,
the magazine for all these.
So, just to recap there, we could see Jupiter and Venus this weekend?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jupiter and Venus are both brighter than all of the stars in the sky. And when the comet's gone down, at 11 o'clock on, you'll see Jupiter rising over in the east, so the opposite part of the sky to where the sun set. You can't miss it. It's the brightest star, in quotes, in the sky. And in fact, the word planet means wandering star. So comet means airy star, planet means wandering star. And if you were to plot Jupiter's position relative to the stars over many weeks and months, you'd see it does wander around the stars, whereas all the star patterns are fixed. They don't change from year to year. And ancient peoples noticed this. A lot of them assumed that these wandering stars up there in the heavens must be gods. What else could they possibly be? Be able to move around amongst the stars.
Well, I think it's a fair it's a fair wonder.
Oh, there is one other planet on view, which
yeah.
is Saturn. But actually brings us nicely.
So hold on.
What's going on
this
in the
sky?
This
weekend,
Saturn is about as bright.
Okay.
As the brightest stars in the sky. So unless you know which one it is, it's high in the south all evening. So unless you know which one it is, it can be tricky to point out, but once you see it, it's very obvious. It's bright as the brightest star in the sky, but not as bright as Jupiter or Venus. But we're setting up telescopes in the Leinster area.
Yes.
It's a fundraising event for Astronomy Ireland to subsidise the membership of all the members across the entire island. But if you are in Leinster, get along to our headquarters. We're just off the M50, so very easy to get to. 7 p.m. next Tuesday. And the reason we're showing Saturn is twofold. One is that its rings are nearly edge on. And this won't happen again until 2039. On average, it only happens every 15 years. So you're going to get a very unique view of Saturn with its rings and its moons.
Oh, wow.
Giant telescopes for a few euros on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on. All the details are on our website, astronomy.ie. So bring the whole family and we'll blow their minds with the views of Saturn.
Okay.
Tuesday. And the second reason is exactly 1 week later, in a minute, our evening classes, Astronomy for Beginners, start online. So anyone in the country can do those. And again, it's all on astronomy.ie.
So tell us, just to bring it back to that event that's happening next Tuesday at 7 p.m, how do you sign up? I think I'm going to join you for that one day because my daughter loves to see these things.
Brilliant.
As well. So how do I sign up to go and what's the cost? And let listeners know, because I'm sure there's a few who are saying that'll be a lovely little trip now on a Tuesday evening as well.
Yeah, so you go along to astronomy.ie, you'll see the Saturn Watch feature there, you click on that. And the cost is 10 euros for a family, for a carload, basically, of people.
Okay.
So we want everyone to sign up. There'll be copies of the magazine on sale there as well. We might be able to show people the comet, but it's really a Saturn watch. We'll see if the comet's brightening on the schedule and how high up it is. We're in a city. It's not the ideal place to see a comet.
Mm.
It is ideal for seeing Saturn.
Okay.
Saturn's so bright, you can see it from the middle of O'Connell Street. And we kick off at 7 p.m. Now, we have telescopes that are thousands of times more powerful than your eyes.
Yeah.
Most people in Astronomy Ireland are beginners. They don't even own a pair of binoculars.
Yeah.
Last time we did a survey, about half the people had binoculars. The rest are relying on the naked eye. Oh, they just like reading about the subject. But some of us do have giant telescopes. We love showing people what you can see through them. People, you know, will point out and say, that star there, just see with the naked eye, that's Saturn. Look at it in the telescope, and it's a big globe with rings and little stars near it, which are actually its moons.
Oh, beautiful.
A lot of people think, you know, oh, we've got a little projector stuck inside the telescope. There's no way you can do that. But in fact, if you have a giant telescope, which the Society has, we take them out usually every month or two to show the general public, and we're inviting all 8 million people on the island to come along and look at Saturn. Like they won't see it again till 2039.
Amazing. And so if you come along to the event, will you get a chance to look through the big telescopes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the only reason for us being there.
Brilliant.
You don't need to do anything. We'll point the telescopes. All people have to do is just look into the telescope. It's as simple as that. There'll be a bit of a talk on Saturn as well. And we'll go ahead regardless of the weather, because it's one of the brightest things in the sky. If there's even a break in the clouds, we'll see Saturn. And, of course, there's going to be a talk. You can ask questions. There'll be copies of the magazine there with maps all about the comet. We'll explain the comet as well. We'll make an evening of it for an hour or two next Tuesday, regardless of what the weather is. You never predict the weather. And, you know, if the weather's really bad, we might do another one in November, because technically the rings are very close to edge on now. And technically they're edge on the 24th of November. So we've still got a few weeks to see Saturn like this, and you do need a big telescope to see Saturn's rings. There's just no way around that, unfortunately.
Okay, it sounds fantastic. And I got a text in there from one of our listeners, and they were asking, what about the stargazing apps? Do you rate them? You know, I think I've actually seen one before.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
Okay, brilliant. There's your answer there, Marjorie.
There are so many of them these days that it wouldn't be fair to name any of them.
Sure, but you do rate them.
Yes, indeed. And I remember when I started off as a young kid trying to learn the way around the sky, and the way we did it back then was you could get a star map for a few quid, and I got some huge sheets of cardboard, pasted the star map to this huge, it was over a meter by a meter star map, and hung it on the washing line.
Okay.
With a couple of bits of string. And I had a torch, and I would look at the star map and I'd look up at the sky and go back and forth, and okay, there's the plough. From the plough you can use it to find the North Star, the two end stars. I can point at the North Star. Oh, there's the North Star, right. And that's a little constellation called Ursa Minor. And then if you go the other way, downwards from the pointers and the plough, you get to the constellation of Leo. And you did star hopping. Of course, you were relying on your torch and the star map, and that was it. Today, you can hold the phone up, and it will show you the stars as you're looking at them. And it will, some of them name the stars. They'll tell you how big they are, how far away they are, even some of the ancient folklore about the constellations. You know, lots of tales about ancient warriors that are rescuing princesses and all kinds of things like that in the sky. I mean, the plough is actually part of a big constellation called Ursa Major, the big bear. And when you see the way the stars are, they join up the dots, you can just about see how they got a bear out of it. But the plough, or some people call it the Big Dipper,
yes,
like a giant ladle, is pretty obvious.
Very obvious.
Some of them are crazy. The three stars in the line that make the constellation of Aries, and how anybody ever made that into a ram is beyond me.
But so, David, from what you've said there, this has been a lifelong passion for you since childhood.
Yeah, and it is for many people. Astronomy Ireland is the world's most popular astronomy society since we set it up over 30 years ago.
Oh,
now.
No, I'm aware of Astronomy Ireland, but for yourself, we've spoken many times, and I didn't know that you that's a new piece of information, that you would use cardboard and wash night. It's pretty impressive. So you've been interested in, what got you interested in it, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, for me, I wanted to blow things up.
Oh!
So about 11 years it's old, I got very interested in chemistry and how do explosions work.
Okay.
And a friend of mine in school had a chemistry set.
Right.
You could buy them. They probably still sell them. You could buy them in department stores back then. And so one lunchtime, he said, we'll come. Christmas, I think, was coming. So we would go back to his house and have a look at this chemistry set. And then I got one for Christmas that year. But in the corner of his room, he had a telescope. And they were very rare back then. They were mostly made in Japan, which meant importing them back then was very expensive. Japanese wages were very high. And so telescopes were about 10 times more expensive than they are today, because everything's made in China now on relatively cheap labor. I want to know what he could see through it. And he told me the planet Jupiter, I remember him saying. I thought, where is it? It's down the end of the garden. But have a look at this chemistry set, he said. I kept asking questions more about the telescope than the chemistry set. We did have a look at the chemistry set eventually. I said to him, well, can I come back tonight? How could you? No, it's gone. It's gone? Where did it go to? He said, look, there are books in the school library you can get. We got back to the school just before lunch break was over. There was a book called The Universe. I took that out of the library, read it cover to cover. And the big thing that impressed me was that the Earth was shown next to the Sun. And the Sun is 100 times wider than the Earth.
Mm.
I didn't know that. An 11-year-old. I thought, well, and it tells more about the Sun. It's obviously much bigger and more important than us. But on the next page, a little circle, which was the Sun, and a giant star who was about 100 times bigger than the Sun. And this blew my mind. And the next page, that giant star was tiny, and there was the big star known next to that. And I thought, that star is so incredibly big, and there are billions of these stars out there. They're not telling us in school about everything that really is in the universe.
Yeah.
My mind was blown, and I was hooked for life.
Oh, well, do you know what? That's actually such a fantastic and lovely story. It is something so small like that, David, especially to an impressionable young mind, that can spark a lifelong passion. But we always really enjoy chatting to you. Thank you so much. That's David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. And just remind everybody again about the event on Tuesday. It's 7 p.m. It's to have a look at, it's €10. It's to have a look at Saturn and its rings. And then the following Tuesday is Astronomy for Beginners.